Dave Wilson is with us now, currently based in New York. He is, of course, normally senior lecturer in the music at the New Zealand School of Music. Well, he still is senior lecturer in music, but he just happens to be in New York right now. Hello, Dave.
Kia ora, Catherine. It's wonderful to be here.
So you've got the old jukebox out. What inspired this?
That's right. Well, you know, New York, of course, is one of the main musical worlds that's centered in New York is that of Broadway. And one of the things I've encountered on this kind of trip to New York that I've been the last couple of months is that something called the jukebox musical has become very common. And these musicals are those that are based on existing popular songs for the most part, rather than all original material. Some of the most famous ones are, of course, Mamma Mia, based on the music of ABBA, Moulin Rouge, based on a collection of songs by different artists. Jersey Boys is a big one, based on the music and story of Frankie Valli. And there are so many more. I think there's even one based on the music of the Spice Girls, which we heard just a few minutes ago on the show.
All righty. So how do we get into this?
So what I wanted to do is listen to some examples of jukebox musicals, and in some cases, compare them to the original songs they're based on. I went to a preview of one jukebox musical the other day based on the music of Huey Lewis and the News. And now Huey Lewis was involved in putting it together, but the story had nothing to do with Huey Lewis or the history of the band. And that's a pretty common format in jukebox musicals. And this first example is one where that's the case. There's a musical that came out in 2018 called Jagged Little Pill, based on, of course, the music of Alanis Morissette and her 1995 album of the same name. Now, the musical really has nothing to do with her life or her story. It was kind of a story fashioned around some of the lyrics of the music. But I started to think a lot about, you know, what is gained and what is lost in putting together shows like this. I think from an industry perspective, you think about people who were teenagers in 1995, like myself. In 2018, those people are in their late 30s or early 40s. They've probably got some disposable income, and they might want to have a nostalgic experience hearing the music of their youth in a different setting. And Broadway musicals are famous for being escapist forms of entertainment that help us kind of escape into nostalgia or other types of mental states when we're trying to deal with the stresses of our world, which definitely needs some escaping from time to time. So I wanted to listen to the song Head Over Feet. I wanted to listen to just the kind of first half of Head Over Feet from the Broadway recording, and then listen to a little bit of the original. And I think it's interesting if we really focus on listening to what might be missing or what might be different in a jukebox musical recording, we'll start to understand some of the important things about popular music. For example, the key thing that's different is the voice. Alanis Morissette was not in the musical, and we won't hear her distinctive voice. So let's listen to this first version of Head Over Feet from the cast recording, and I think listeners will notice right away some extreme differences from the original if they're familiar.
To hear you, you stated your case time and again. I thought about it.
You treat me like I'm a princess. I'm not used to liking that. You've already won me over in spite of me. And don't be alarmed if I fall head over feet. And don't be surprised. surprised if I love you for all.
Swallowed me whole. You're so much braver than I give you credit for. That's not lip service.
Before I've never wanted something rational. I am aware now. I am aware now. You've already won me over in spite of me. And don't be alarmed if I fall head over feet. And don't be surprised.
Righto, Dave, you're going to have to help me with that because I'm struggling. I mean, what is it that makes an adaptation work for a musical and what is it that makes it polarizing?
Well, this is kind of what I'm getting at. When we listen to this just as a soundtrack, I mean, I find what's jarring for me is the key kind of goes up with each phrase and these different voices, the men, the women, it certainly has something to do with the story they're telling in the Broadway show. And you hear especially the woman trying to sort of imitate the phrasing of Alanis Morissette. But I think
it's the vibe, Your Honor. It's not Alanis. It just sort of lacks the anger and the fury and the energy. However, you just said something interesting there. With musicals, they are telling a fuller story than an individual song, or they're trying to compose a narrative, right? And you do find yourself, you do find the lyrics potentially much more accessible, and in that case you're also hearing more than one singer, ergo more than one character, yeah?
Yeah, and I think also the vibe, we hear this different type of singing that's more standard in Broadway, which audiences kind of probably expect. And the instruments playing are those that are going to be played by Broadway orchestral musicians, which is quite a different setting than the recording of Alanis's album.
Let's listen to the original just for a moment.
I had no choice but to hear you. You stated your case time and again. I thought about it. I'm not used to lying there. You ask how my day was. You've already won me over in spite of me. And don't be alarmed if I fall head over feet. And don't be surprised if I love you for all that you
so interesting.
And it's followed me home.
How often a singer owns a song? And I can't even really think of covers. How many people have covered Alanis's songs? Someone must have.
I think when especially the sound of her voice and all the instruments playing together, when you do it that well, every cover is going to fall short. I mean,
no violin there, that's for sure. No violin in that
that's
one.
That's right. And what I found driving that Alanis track is the sound of the snare drum on every other beat has this really distinct sound that just allows the tempo to be a little bit slower.
Yeah.
And it really works. Whereas on Broadway, maybe they needed it faster to go with the dance or to go with some action on the. You never know.
Okay, let's crack into the next one.
So the next one's a little different model, and I would say a different business model. This is from a brand new musical called Hell's Kitchen, which is written by Alicia Keys and includes a lot of her older music, but also new material that she's written. It opens up in, I think, 4 days on Broadway. It's in previews, and it ran last year off Broadway. So it's been in development for a while. And Alicia Keys released this new song called Kaleidoscope, where she, although she's not in the musical, she sings the first half of the song along with the artist who plays Allie, the character who kind of represents her in the show. And what we'll notice again here is, though it's Alicia Keys' voice, it has her voice, the actual constraints of the Broadway sound, this doesn't quite have the vibe of a typical Alicia Keys track, because you have live instrumentation along with some electronics and some kind of sounds that gesture towards the type of R&B, pop, hip hop combination that she does. But I think this is Alicia Keys trying to expand into a new audience. You know, the audience for Broadway are not typically diehard, Alanis fans. They're not diehard Alicia Keys fans, but they're going to know their hits. And I think this is probably Alicia Keys doing some work of expanding fans for music. So let's check out maybe just the first part of Kaleidoscope.
Kaleido, lighter, 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 kaleidoscope. Tonight is shining bright, you know. Never want them to finish. Don't wait for the endless start of beginning. Better to be alive than just to be living. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Kaleido, lighter, 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 kaleidoscope. Everyone look.
See, this is an interesting one with the artist herself, her voice, right? But in a completely different format, in the form of a Broadway musical.
That's right. Even though she's not in the musical, she lends her voice to the soundtrack. And it'll be interesting to see once the musical comes out, if they release a cast recording that includes her hits, you know, Girl on Fire, Empire State of Mind, these kind of classic songs of hers that appear in the musical, whether or not she'll lend her voice to those. Uh-huh. So I get watch this space for this one.
Okay. Now back to one of the greats for your last example today.
The last one, I wanted to share something from the musical based on the life of the great Tina Turner. This musical came out in 2018. And, you know, it's very well known that Tina Turner really took control of her life and her career. And I was chatting with a colleague here at NYU, where I'm based, Professor Maureen Mann, who's written two excellent books on rock and roll. The most recent one she wrote was about Black women in rock and roll, called Black Diamond Queens. And there's a really wonderful chapter about Tina Turner's turn to rock at the end. And Professor Mann let me know that Tina was involved in the production of this show, including meeting with, talking to some of the actors and the ones portraying her. But as we listen, you'll hear the voice of the actor, Adrienne Warren, and she really is attempting to get close to that Tina Turner voice. Of course, there's a huge sound. We're going to listen to What's Love Got to Do with It. We'll notice there is a difference in the sound of the instruments, but in my ear, this one gets a little bit closer than maybe the Alanis one. One of the reasons I wanted to play this one is you start to hear part of the storyline that really signals this is a Broadway version. So let's listen to maybe a minute of this before we get into the original from Tina Turner.
You must understand, though the touch of your hand makes my pulse react, that it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl. I possess attract, it's physical, it's only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than that.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for quite a treat tonight. We haven't seen this incredible woman perform in the Big Apple for the past 10 years. So please put your hands together for her rich debut, Miss Tina Turner.
Hey, that's not a bad effort, Dave. That's a great voice. And I think the other thing we've got to remember is that this is meant really for live performance. This is about the whole experience of being in live theatre, right? It's a bit hard to get yourself there when you're just listening, you know, through your cans
exactly.
Or your headphones, right?
And Broadway is all about the spectacle.
Uh-huh.
And pop music, you know, if you see an arena tour, it's about the spectacle too, but it's also meant for listening in your car, listening on your headphones, whatever it may be.
Gutsy role to take on, and actually the voice is pretty damn good.
It's really good, but the
bottom line is,
bottom line is, to me, no one can do Tina.
Yeah.
And that's really one of the reasons she's such a powerful artist. As we listen to her version, as much of it as we can, we'll hear again, the tempo is slower. You will, you know, we think this voice sounds like Tina, but when we hear Tina's voice, we'll realize it's so singular what she can do. And, you know, we know after she passed away, there were so many tributes. We know she's resting in peace and resting in power and hopefully smiling down on all of us who are trying to capture a little bit of what she gave to us in the world.
I reckon she's ripping up a storm, actually, but never mind. Take care, Dave.
Well,
thank you.
Let's hope so.
Touch of your hand makes my pulse react, that it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl. Opposites attract, it's physical, only logical.
just try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? It may seem to you that I'm acting confused close to me. If I tend to look dazed, I read it someplace, I've got cause to be. There's a name for it, there's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it for.
Tina Turner with What's Love Got to do With It. Thank you very much to Dave Wilson, Senior Lecturer in Music at the New Zealand School of Music, for bringing today's selection.